Our text for tonight is the account of our Lord's transfiguration taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Hear these words. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, my father took me one night down to the bus depot here in Mankato, and it was probably 10 o'clock or 10:30 at night, and it was kind of down by the old post office building. And it just so happened that about 3 large Greyhound buses all pulled in roughly the same time, within minutes of each other, and everybody started getting out of them, dragging their suitcases out of them. And I happened to get separated from my dad. I was only 7. And I got lost in the crowd of all these people and their overcoats and their luggage. And it was dark outside. And even now today, all of these years later, when I think back to that incident, it kind of makes me a little bit afraid. I remember the fear that I felt as a little child. I remember feeling like I was never going to find my dad again, and somehow I was going to get swept away with this large crowd of people. Have you ever had something happen to you, maybe in your childhood, when fear just really consumed you? Or maybe it's been even in recent months or years now. Maybe there was a time you were close to a deadly car accident, your car started to slide on the road, and you just felt that tingle of adrenaline go through your body. There are a lot of different things in our lives that can make us afraid. Be interesting to just go around the room and listen to some of the different ideas of and things that have happened to us that have caused panic or fear inside of us. It's probably rare, however, that you or I have felt the type of fear that is mentioned in the disciples at Jesus' transfiguration. This is a level of fear that is something probably none of us have experienced. We're told in the Gospels they fell with their faces to the ground. Have you ever been so afraid of something you actually literally laid down on the ground and hid your face in the dirt? We're told in another that they were greatly afraid. The Greek words there is that it's the maximum expression of terror. Mark tells us in his gospel about this account, Peter did not know what to say. He was so frightened at one point in this. Hearing the voice of God and the radiance of God's bright glory shining down on them, they just couldn't take it. Now it's interesting, nothing as far as we know from heaven was spoken to them, judging them or anything. Nothing that was expressed to them by God or Jesus or either of the two standing at his side that would cause the disciples to have to feel some fear. But just being in the presence of God and just hearing his voice sends this shiver of fear through their bodies. It's their own inner sense of their own wickedness and evil that is so contrasted to the goodness of God and the holiness and perfection of God that causes them to now just tremble in fear. Inside of their minds and hearts is the thought, God is holy. I am clearly not holy. I don't deserve to be standing here. And I am in trouble. I am in serious trouble in front of this being. This account teaches us two things about Christ and also one thing about ourselves. First of all, let's learn this about Christ. To see Christ, the Son of God, in his unveiled glory would be beyond anything else we can imagine in this world. In this account, Jesus gives a glimpse of that glory when his face shines like the sun and he stands before his disciples in all this radiance. Jesus of Nazareth shielded people from that glory when he lived in this world and when he walked on this earth. But in this one instance, he chooses now to just provide a slight glimpse into that tremendous glory. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, shows how necessary the incarnation of the Son of God into human flesh has to be and must be. God simply cannot come to you and me in our fallen state in all of his glory. We couldn't handle it. We couldn't take it. He has to wrap himself in the form of a carpenter's son. He has to wrap himself in this lowly man from Nazareth in order for him to be approachable for us. We think about Moses at the burning bush, that God has to come to him in a different supernatural way than all of his glory in order for Moses simply to have a conversation with him. And this is what we find typically throughout Scripture. Even when God's angels come to speak to someone, they are terrified. Even a messenger that comes from the glory and radiance of heaven, when it comes into this fallen world, sinful people can't take it. They just have to have a barrier between them and this holy God. But notice also then that the sight of Jesus' transfiguration produces in the hearts of sinful beings this desperate fear, which is rooted in the guilt of their own consciences, just like it would be for you and me. And that's why the thought, looking ahead in your life, of someday standing in the judgment seat of God in front of him, as the Bible says, one-on-one with God, that's why that instance, even thinking about it now, terrifies us and often makes us shiver. The brighter and more powerful the intensity is in a beam of light, the darker shadow it is going to cause. There was an old theologian years ago named Johann Gerhardt, and he said, "You and I live in this world full of sinful people, and as Christians, our goodness and our holiness, our righteousness, and how good we can be following the things of Christ is like carrying a big candle around in the world. And when we look into the dark shadows of this world, our candle looks pretty bright. But when you take your candle of your goodness and fly it into the sun, it completely disappears and you are blinded." And that's what it would be like to try to take our goodness up against the holiness and the goodness of the Almighty God. So this is a consistent theme throughout Scripture. When fallen man is in the presence of a holy God, he just can't deal with it. But notice the heart of God himself as to how he comes and approaches these men who are lying in the dirt in fear. Jesus himself comes and touches them. Isn't that a great passage? He touches them. You could just see him reaching down and tapping them on the shoulder as they're cowering in fear. He touches them and he says these gentle words, "Arise and do not be afraid." I was wondering, what tone of voice did Jesus use when he said that to them? "Get up. You don't have to be afraid of me. You don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of standing in the presence of God." He wants to reassure them that they can stand in his presence, that we can stand in his presence, and everything will be all right. Even though the accuracy of the judgment of our own wickedness that causes us to be afraid is true, Jesus doesn't say, "You guys don't have to think of yourselves as sinful." But God has chosen, despite that, the truthfulness and the accuracy of our own judgment of our hearts, God has chosen to overrule that through his grace and through the work of Jesus himself. Now, Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus come to you tonight if there's something that's bothering your conscience, and to touch you and to say to you, get up. You don't have to be afraid. Well, I would encourage you to consider the way that God has chosen to distribute his grace to you in this world, the means of grace. Think about how gentle and tender those things are. God comes to you with just a little bit of water, cool water, and places that on you and says, you're going to be my child. I'm going to forgive your sins. He comes to you with sweet bread and sweet wine and puts it on your tongue. And he says, this is how I want you to know me, as a tender and a loving and a gracious God, forgiving your sins. I'm going to put the body and blood of my son in your mouth. I want you to taste it. It's sweet, because that is how I look at you because of Christ. He comes to us through the ministry of his word. And he speaks gentleness to us. He speaks forgiveness and mercy and compassion. He tells us we're holy and perfect and righteous and we're going to go to heaven someday. Those are beautiful, sweet words. This is the tender touch of your Savior, who's tapping you even right now through your ears, tapping you and saying, arise, get up. You don't have to be afraid. God wraps himself in the gospel and in the means of grace in a very approachable, unintimidating way to come and communicate with you. God doesn't want you to go through your life living in fear of him. He doesn't want you looking forward to judgment day in fear. We probably still will, but he doesn't want that. And there's no need for us to do that. The Bible says to us who believe in Christ, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to hear that for your conscience one more time, to the things that make you the most afraid of God. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine someday when we get to stand in heaven among all of the other saints, and we will be in that radiant, bright, shining glory of God? We will see Christ on his throne, and there won't be an ounce of fear inside of our hearts. The very righteousness that it takes to stand there that day in heaven, you have it right now through faith. Believe it. Amen.